IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello, and welcome back to IRS on the Road.
We're home. We made it
IRS home. Back to Utah.
It's freezing. We went from 80 degrees down to minus 3 or so. That was quite a change.
It was, and it's been such a blizzard up at our house in Park City that we can't even get up there. So we've certainly changed from the bliss of beautiful blue skies, although if you've been listening, you know we had a typhoon while we were there, but it's lovely to be home. We love it, and I have a place down by Temple Square, and even though we're woken up every morning with backup buzzers on
those backup beepers, those things will go through any wall, any sound barrier, those backup beepers when they start working on the temple at 7 a.m. That's our wake up call.
That's right.
In Hawaii, it was a buzzer that went off because we were right by a big bus station where the school buses came in and out. And at 7 a.m. we'd get the now we get beep, beep, beep. There's just no rest for the wicked.
We are home. And we've been worried about snow when we've been gone. Our plow broke. But, wow.
Our renter fixed the plow.
Fixed it like 30 minutes before a blizzard.
Welding. Well, a little after the blizzard, but he got it plowed. Well, who cares about any of that, right?
Yes.
Because today, as we record, it is Valentine's Day, and I'm here with my Valentine. And can you guess that we're going to talk about love today, but in a little different tone, a little different way?
There's lots of ways to talk
about love. We're going to talk about love of friends and friendships and how important they are and how oftentimes, as we get a little older, we actually shed friends. I mean, some of them die. More importantly, or more to the point, we lose touch. We sort of begin to get a little isolated in our own settings. Well, and we get so busy with our own family that, you know, growing families, extended families, 3 or 4 generation families for some of us, that we pay maybe a little less attention to friends. Now, a lot of us have church friends. A lot of us, Linda has, you know, music friends and chamber music
mother friends and grandmother friends.
And I have tennis friends and so on. But are they of course, all friends are good, but we want to get into it a little bit today. And I mean, if you compare your circle of friends and how much you did with friends, if you tried to graph that over the course of your life, what would it look like? Where would it peak? Would it peak in college or in school when you're just with friends all the time? I mean, if you were graphing the amount of time spent with friends, it probably would peak pre-family days, do you think? I don't know.
Well, I did have, it depends on how many friends you have in high school.
Yeah, I guess that's true, and in college.
I had no friends in elementary school, and then found some friends in junior high, and they became part of my life in high school.
Oh, I'll bet you had some little cute little elementary school friends.
Oh, I did, and I just never knew from one day to the next if my best friend was going to be nice to me or not.
Yeah, you know?
it is interesting, but as we've evolved, roommates become friends, study abroad people become friends, a lot of people come in and out of your life, and obviously when we lived in Washington, D.C. for several years, we have those dear friends. Some of them moved back here with us.
But our Boston friends that we're going to talk about in a minute. But you said an interesting thing just then, Linda. You said friends come in and out of our lives. And some do by necessity and so on. But what about the ones that come into your life and stay in your life? They're the ones that we just owe so much to, don't we? And
we do.
We're going to talk a little about our experience with that when we were in graduate school in Boston. Only 2 years. We were just there for 2 years. But we made a disproportionate number of friends who came into our lives and didn't go out of our lives.
Right.
Why do you think that was?
I don't know, because we and some of them did go out of our lives, and we see them once in a while, and we still
Sure,
feel that
sure.
love for them, but they moved to a different place, and just many of them may have moved where we moved. We had friends that moved to Washington from
Yeah,
Boston and
yeah.
from here from Boston, and then I have lifelong friends that, in fact, I'm having lunch with tomorrow, and
Yeah.
it's really interesting.
I guess the question is, how much effort do we make as time goes by and life gets busy? And sometimes in our careers, our work friends sort of take over. They're the people we're with all day long and so on, or that we see the
Right,
most.
right.
And I guess what we're going to be thinking about is the value of old friends as well as the value of new ones. And we're going to talk a little about a group that's on our minds right now because we're meeting with them this weekend. We meet every month. And pretentiously, we call this group the Inklings. And it started back there in Boston all those years ago. We won't even mention how many years. It'll scare some of you. But Inklings, as some of you may recognize that is a very interesting name, by the way, because why wouldn't they have an interesting name? Because they were C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien and Charles Williams and some other authors in Oxford who had a little group and they met together in a pub. And the name of the pub was The Eagle and the Child. And it's still there. And when we get to England, we go and look at it,
I
just to
think it's
look at it.
closed right now, but I can't
It's closed
imagine
for
somebody
renovation.
doesn't get there and open it up again
But
because.
it's just fun to look at that little pub and imagine Lewis and Tolkien and these authors meeting there regularly to be with their friends, to be with their intellectual peers, to read each other their manuscripts. I mean, can you imagine you're reading your manuscript because you want to see if C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien approve of it or have any edits or suggestions?
Oh my goodness, yes, that was a good group of friends.
But we picked out that name and just thought, why not? We'll have our own Inklings, and Inklings has survived all these years.
That it has, and there are other Inklings groups that I know of too, of
Our kids
women
have
all over the
started some,
world,
yeah.
and our kids have started their own little Inklings. Because it is just little inklings that we talk about, but then they blossom into wonderful ideas and things that all of us need to think about.
Well, it's a cool double meaning, right? I mean, Inklings obviously worked for those authors who their medium was ink and they were writing every day, Inklings, but also, like you say, the little inklings of ideas that come when you're with friends, or the inklings of the memories and the details you have together and so on. It's kind of a cool name for Inklings. So we want to think first about the question of enduring friendships on Valentine's weekend. Why not? And then we're going to talk a little in the second half of the show today about the particular topic that we're going to be discussing in our little Inklings this weekend. It has to do in a way with Valentine's Day, but in a way not. So we're going to hold off on telling you what that topic is until the second half of the show. But what else about friends? I mean, speaking of C.S. Lewis, he wrote one of his books is called The Four Loves, four different kinds of loves. And of course, one was Eros or romantic love. And that's what we mainly think about on Valentine's Day. And I'm so glad to be with my Valentine's. I'm poking her in the ribs a little. She's very ticklish.
Stop that. But there are more than just friends and associates. We don't think about sometimes our family being our friends, our best friends. And we're taking my sister to lunch today for Valentine's Day because her husband has been gone for 19
Wow,
years. Can you believe
it's
it? It'll
hard to
be 20
imagine.
years at Christmas time. And she has had an amazing life of service and giving and so on. But wow, her children, who are wonderful, have had hard times, and there are so many hard things. But we meet all, you know, whenever we're home, we find some way to meet.
Well, you two sisters, you're talking about close sisterhood. Wow.
But I think that she next to you is my best friend,
well,
because
sure.
We have all that background. You know, we have our childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
We have all
you go
of
back
that
to
history.
Day one.
And I have, she is just the dearest person to me, and she's taught me so much. She calls me and we talk about the gospel. We talk about
problems
and issues and so on.
Yeah.
But I share things with her that I could never share with just my regular friends because they don't have the background.
Well, you know, that's a really fun place to start, Linda, siblings, because, I mean, think about it. You know your siblings longer during your life than anyone else, including your parents. Your parents will probably pass before you do, but your siblings essentially share your same lifetime. So if you live to be 90 years old, you will know your siblings for most of that time. And one of the saddest things that, and we see it, I don't know if it's increasing or if we're just more aware of it, but in this polarized world we live in now, politically polarized and in other ways, we run into people who don't speak to their siblings anymore. Oh, we don't speak. Oh, we're estranged.
Well,
you
I'm
know?
Sure there are some people
and
listening who have
well,
some
sure,
issues with
I'm sure
siblings.
There are.
Yeah.
And I had real issues with one of my brothers, and there were times when I think I kept speaking to him, but he quit speaking to me.
Yeah, he did.
And so, you know, this none of us are above this, but I guess we're just trying to probe the value of friendships. And do they sometimes take a back seat to achievements or to our busy lives or just to what we're doing on the day to day? And we wake up and say, gee, you know, I haven't heard from so-and-so in a year, and he was my best friend. Or closer to what you're saying, honey, I haven't talked to my sister for 2 months or whatever it is. The point is, I guess it takes, is effort the right word? I mean, you hate to think of friendship as something you have to work at, but you do in a way. It's not guaranteed, and
yeah.
it's not gonna always be there if we don't maintain it.
And the Lord loves effort. I mean, you know,
yeah.
We know that. He loves us to keep working at things that are important in our lives. And so we had a brother who was adopted in my family because my parents thought they would never have children. My mother married him when she was 38, and my dad was 51. And he had been married before. His wife had died of cancer. And so they adopted this cute little boy who had been abused, badly abused. And by the time you're 5, your life is pretty much wrecked.
Yeah, you did your best to stay in touch with
well,
the boy
they,
all these years.
They did a fabulous job with him, but he decided he had to leave when he was a senior in high school, and he went back to his alcoholic father. But, you know, he taught me a lot about friendships. I mean, I can remember him knocking on our window in the morning when my sister and I were asleep, and he was out there mowing the lawn, and he was trying to get us to, he said, this is so fun out here to mow this lawn. Can you come out and mow with us? I have really dear memories
all
of
those
him.
Memories. And, you know, I mean, you contrast something like that with what I think in a way is kind of a tragic, well, maybe I shouldn't be so critical. I was going to say a misuse of the word friend is what we use it for today. So often I friended you. You're my friend on Facebook,
that's right.
You know, and I've got 4,000 friends on Facebook. Well, come on, let's know what we're talking about today. That's, in a way, that's the substitution of quantity for quality. And again, nothing wrong with being, and in fact, we ought to think of it as an asset. Those of us who, we are capable now of staying in touch with more friends than ever before. In fact, when we do Inklings, this weekend, we'll have friends who are on Zoom coming into Inklings from far, far away because they're part of that group, even though they might live in another country.
Yeah.
So let's think about that and take a little brief break, and then we'll go a little further, a little deeper, and tell you what we're going to be talking about in Inklings this weekend.
So hang on, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back, talking about friends on Valentine's Day. Wow. Valentine's Day seems like comes along. It used to be a long time between Valentine's Day. Just like it used to be a long time between Christmas. Now it seems like bam, bam, bam. It just keeps happening. But before we go too far, I have to say how much I love my Valentine. Oh gosh, this guy has gotten me through a lot of hard times lately. A bad knee and a bad hip and a bad this and the other.
We're leaving from here to go get a shot in Linda's knee.
We are.
That's our Valentine's Day morning.
You're my best friend now because you could get me in when I actually can't normally get in.
When it comes to my Valentine, I get a little pushy, don't I? I mean, with those who I think ought to be helping her. But anyway, it will be a fun day, and we're going to get to Inklings and our friends there in a minute. But I do want to say that I've already given Linda one little Valentine just to start the day off today, and it was, you'll never guess this, a heart-shaped cookie that I decorated myself.
Well, you have to give the backstory on that. It was our granddaughter's 22nd birthday, and she had it here in our building last night, and they had sugar cookies that they were all decorating. So he went right down there and decorated one for me.
It's just like I used to carve on trees. It just says L and R.
Don't say
I know,
you did
I shouldn't
that.
Say that.
Especially the ampersand. What we're talking about today.
But then later on today, I've got a little surprise for you, honey. We don't tell what it is just yet, but Valentine's Day, what a day. But, you know, what about this friendship thing? Well, this weekend when we meet, like I say, and by the way, you know, this is not unique to us. So many of you listeners have book clubs or social dinner party things, and you just have certain old friends that you want to hang on to and get together with, and they're great. I mean, sometimes ours deteriorate a little because everyone's talking about their latest health issue. That can be a topic.
We try not to talk about that.
This weekend, we're talking, whoever's having it at their house chooses the topic, and I'm fascinated by this one because we're going to be talking about beauty and what creates real beauty, and is there a spiritual aspect to beauty? And was Keats right when he said a thing of beauty is a joy forever? Or when he said, more challengingly, truth is beauty, beauty truth. That is all we know on earth and all we need to know. I hope we get into that, because what a challenging statement. And the way the host couple set it up, tell what we're supposed to bring with us. It'll be quite interesting. And this shows you the innovation and fun of friendship.
Yes, this is a unique group. But our hosts want us to bring something that is beautiful. Just an item or something that we think is
illustrates real beauty.
It illustrates beauty. It can be whatever we want. The instructions are, if you want to dance, we'll provide a dance floor. If you want to put something on the screen, we can do that.
If you want to play a beautiful piece of music
or sing
a poem
or share a piece of music,
whatever you consider to be truly beautiful. Isn't that interesting?
And that is really interesting.
I think Linda, just give you a little, well, yeah, we can give a little clue. I think you're bringing trees and I'm bringing a rock. I have a particularly beautiful rock I'm going to try to share.
Well, you have to know the backstory on this. We're reading a Pulitzer Prize winning book called The Overstory. And when you think of that, what is The Overstory? It's all about trees. And there are these characters, five different characters,
yeah.
Right? He develops the lives of these people. And then in the first half of the book,
how
and it's 17 hours, I've been listening to it. And I was grateful when during the typhoon that the electricity was out, that I could just, listen to it. But it is amazing. Trees are the most amazing things in the world, and we don't realize that. We were surrounded by trees in Hawaii. Everywhere we looked, there were trees. And I just looked in our bedroom last night. We have some pictures, some paintings, and so on, and every one of them have trees in them. And I think we just take trees for granted. They are so beautiful and unique. And as the story goes on in this book, it's just astonishing. There's one little girl who, from the time she was 5 years old, was just so fascinated with nature, with bugs, with butterflies, with everything nature. And then she became fascinated with trees. And the more she studied trees, she went to college and majored in botany, and then she started thinking these trees can talk to each other.
Yeah, that's just
And it's
amazing.
amazing. And she said that publicly, and they just totally smashed her down, and they just, wow. And then as time went on, they found, like, yes, you're right. They do communicate with each other.
Well, and
So
trees, that's a perfect. I'm excited to hear. By the way, and this book, we also have this book club that's meeting on the, and many of you are involved in book clubs, and that's a great example of a kind of friendship that's really
it is.
special. And I guess both with Inklings and with book clubs and so on, in our experience, the beauty is that you're talking about something meaningful. I mean, here the way some friendships can sort of dissolve, or at least sort of dim, is that they're perfunctory. I mean, we say, "How you doing?" We say, "Happy birthday" when it's time. We send Christmas cards, and when we talk to someone, we say, "How's the weather where you are?" or whatever. And we don't get beneath the surface. And a real one definition of a real friendship is you talk about things in your heart and things in your brain. And book clubs are great for that because you're discussing ideas and things that you have been thinking. And Inklings is that way because we're always getting in the mind and the heart of the people who are hosting the meeting, and we're talking about sort of important, philosophical is the wrong word, but things that involve real feelings.
Yes, in fact, we just landed at 4:30 a.m., and that's a long story, at the airport. And we came home, and we went to sleep for just a few little hours, and then I got up and went to my book club, and we were discussing family history, and everybody brought what they had been working
Oh,
on to
great,
family
yeah.
history. And we are way down the road here, with our book club. But the things that they had done were just astonishing. And the more I saw, I thought, oh, shoot,
I
I
gotta
haven't done that.
go.
But I shared some of my things at the end, and it was really, really amazing to see how much I love every one of these women. And because we've had this friendship for all these years, but then to share things that are really deeply meaningful, like you were saying, is really a beautiful thing in your life.
Yeah, beautiful thing. And so
Going
again,
back to beauty.
this idea of beauty, and there's a lot of philosophy about beauty and what really creates, what really constitutes true beauty versus surface beauty, and on and on and on. But just the idea that it bridges into the spiritual realm and into the question of discernment, even. Like, if we could all have our children develop this sense of truth and beauty to where they would recognize something that was true or false, or something that was leading them in a good or bad direction, almost by how it feels. Does it feel beautiful? Is beauty always a mark of God and of progression and of correctness and of things that are right? And is ugliness in any form, even a little feeling that you get, always an indication of a wrong direction or whatever? I mean, it's quite a thing to think about. And I will mention too, Linda, that we talked last week on the show about, or a couple of weeks ago, I guess now, about this course that we're getting ready to start doing, an online course that I'm going to monitor or sort of moderate or
lead.
Lead.
You can go ahead and say that
word because we hope it'll be a collective effort called How to Live the Second Half of Life. And I think it's in the show notes from a couple of weeks ago for those of you that are interested in that course. But the way the course is divided, you'll see where I'm going with this, Linda, is how to live physically, how to live mentally, how to live socially, how to live emotionally, and so on in the second half of life. And I was thinking about that in connection with beauty, with this subject that we're thinking so much about for this Inklings group. And beauty means a different thing in each of those five facets. I mean, when you think physical, you're thinking of what we see with our eyes and feel with our hands and hear with our ears and the beauty of that and how our physical bodies allow us, they're like the intake for the beauty. They're the door that opens, that bring us beauty, that immerse us, that allow us to experience and be part of beauty. And then when you think of mental, you know, how beautiful is our mind, and are we able to take in beauty and make it part of how we think and how we create? There's a beauty in any form of creation. And then you go to the social, and it's what we're talking about today, the friendship and how beautiful relationships are. I mean, the word beauty means a different thing in each of these five facets. And then you get to the emotional, and do you really feel the beauty? How deeply does it affect us in our emotions? And then the spiritual, the discernment thing, the fact that everything to do with God and with the higher powers is beautiful, and things that are lower and that are wrong or have a certain ugliness to them.
Yeah, when I think of beauty, and they had some questions for us too, and one of them says, how can you recognize that you are seeing beauty? And I think the answer to that is that you feel something in your heart. I mean, you really do like, oh, that is so beautiful. I mean, there's something happens in your heart when see beauty. It's just remarkable.
It's not an analytical process. You don't sort of compare two things on 25 points of rankings and say, oh, this one must be more beautiful than this one because it scores higher. It's something you feel. And is beauty a different thing to you than it is to me? Or is beauty beauty? That's an interesting question. Do you have your own beauty and I have mine and never the twain shall meet? Or is there something, when something is truly beautiful, it will reach out to everyone who really ponders it?
Yeah, well, and different things affect different people. I mean, maybe somebody could look at a tree and just, well, nice, you know? But the trees that we've been seeing with these huge canopies that cover half a block, they're just absolutely amazing. You have to draw your breath in and just go, oh my goodness. I mean, that's the feeling that you have when you see true beauty.
Maybe there is an awe, A-W-E, that always connects to beauty. Although you've talked a lot about your trees, I should take a moment and stand up for my rock. I'm bringing a little rock that I picked up on a pebble beach in Italy about a year ago. Remember, we got on that windswept beach?
Yes.
And it wasn't sand, it was pebbles. But I started realizing that every single pebble, and I mean pebbles, they were like golf ball size or so, but all different shapes. And I remember standing there saying, you know, who knows how many rocks are on this beach, or how many grains of sand or whatever, that gets into the eternities. But I realized that I could not pick up a rock on that, and then they were all rounded from the surf and so on. You can't find one that's not beautiful. And the one I'm gonna bring tomorrow is just this most, it's got veins of quartz going through it. The shape of it is beautiful. I mean, one little rock contains powerful beauty.
So much beauty, yeah. Yeah, that's gonna be amazing. So we'll maybe report next time about all the beautiful things we've learned, but we really do appreciate you listening in and hanging with us, and we hope that we've given you some thoughts. Go find some new friends, or redevelop some old friends, or go to your family and make them friends, or whatever has occurred to you during this half an hour. We really appreciate you listening in, and we love you.
And find beauty in your life, and we'll see you next time on Ayers on the Road.
Bye-bye.